Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We're at a modern-day high school, and we're focusing this week on the boys' basketball program. And of course, that means we're talking with the legendary head basketball coach out here, Gary McKnight. Coach, thanks for taking some time.
No, enjoying it.
30-plus years here at Modern Day. When you think back to day one here on campus, what was the plan? What did you see when you looked around at this basketball program at that time?
Well, I was 29 years old, and I was about the youngest head coach in Orange County. Now I'm about the oldest, so times have changed a little bit. You know, originally we had our the old gym, and sat about 800, 900 people, and when we could put bleachers on the stage to help increase the attendance. I remember one game playing St. Bernard's. We had people standing on the roof looking through the windows watching the game. It was such a capacity crowd. Then we moved from there. We moved over to Chapman College, and we played some games at Oceanview. Then we settled in for 3 or 4 years at UCI, and that worked out real good. But ever since they built the Murillo Athletic Center, it's been a different thing. I mean, having a beautiful locker room and office right next to the gym, and having a facility that not only takes care of basketball, but volleyball and girls basketball. And it's just state-of-the-art facility. So it's really made basketball a lot different from my early days.
Yeah, I remember covering during the UCI days. Does it help? Does it give it a true, you know, home court advantage, and especially being here on campus?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, being on campus makes all the difference in the world, because being over at UCI was nice for parents, but the students, it was tough because you had to pay for parking, and students aren't used to that. And I thought we lost some student life for a little while there because it's just, you know, it's off campus. But now it's just couldn't be better.
You know, as I walk in into your office here, you know, there's that big wall, the big mural along the wall here inside the gym, and it's the history of modern-day athletics. So much of that is focused on the basketball program and what you've accomplished here. The names, you know, the Taylor Kings and the Cedric Bozemans, and it goes back even further than that, and even the more recent guys. Do you ever get a chance to sit back and reflect? I know you're a busy guy, and this season is always on your mind, but are there times in the offseason where you reflect back on some of those kids and some of those times at this stage in your career?
Well, they were all very special. Some of the kids that were stars, some of the kids that weren't stars. But what's nice is most of them come by and stop by and say hi to Coach. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, I feel like I did something right, because they come by, they'll talk, they want to go out to lunch. And for my 64th birthday, I had four of my five starters show up here on my birthday and surprise me. And, you know, I still call my kids, and they're all four were 50 years old. You know, sometimes you got to take a step back, but I still refer to them as my kids. And, you know, it's been just a great experience. You know, at first I thought, well, maybe I can coach high school. Maybe I can get a chance to be assistant college coach. Then I realized the grass isn't always greener. Yeah. And I had a great situation and a nice job. And I had five sons go through school here. And it just, it's been a great situation for me.
What were the, in your early days, what was your first exposure to the game of basketball as a kid and maybe as a high schooler?
Never played basketball in my life. I was a baseball player, and I messed around a little bit with football, but I was a baseball player and played 2 years of college baseball at Saddleback College and was a catcher and outfielder and really loved baseball. And when I was about 16, I was coaching youth baseball in San Clemente, where I grew up, and a friend of mine said, hey, they're having a youth basketball program. They need some coaches. So I went over and started coaching youth basketball. Then I started coaching at the boys club. Then I started coaching travel ball. And, you know, it'd be nothing to have 10 or 12 games in a weekend with travel ball. And I just fell in love with the game because it was something that was indoors and you could practice anytime you wanted to. It was a lot of action. And I really started enjoying it. And the funny thing is, 2 months before I got the head job here, I was a finalist for the head baseball job at Oceanview High School. I was going to be the head baseball coach. Jim Harris was going to be my assistant, and then I was going to be his assistant in basketball. And they gave it to another guy who said it had more longevity in the school district. He coached 1 year and became an administrator, or else I'd been the head baseball coach at Oceanview, and who knows what would have happened.
Wow. Imagine how history would have changed there.
Never know.
You bring up, you know, Coach Harris over at Ocean View, and your name and his name are synonymous with Orange County basketball. Over the years, you've taken that mantle to the highest number, all-time winningest coach in the state. Do you think about your legacy? Is that something that, that has interested you over the years, or you just keep winning because the players keep coming?
You know, we've been very fortunate. We've had so much success early that we continually get some top players. And let's face it, you can't win unless you have some of the best players.
Right.
And I've been blessed with some not only very talented players, but great kids. And, you know, every day I come to work, I have fun. And just I enjoy driving to work because just being around the kids and being involved with them on a day-to-day, I look more forward to that than I do living in the past or the wins or what have you. That takes care of itself. But, you know, I just really enjoy looking forward to the next game and figuring out a game plan. And year to year, the teams change, so you got to change your style. And I've been very fortunate to have some great assistant coaches. Jason Quinn played for me 87 and 90, and he's been my assistant other than his 4 years in college. He's just tremendous. He's my associate head coach, and he takes a lot of work off my shoulders. But the school's been very supportive of me. Our academics are top-notch. Our campus ministry is just tremendous, and we just have a lot of cornerstones here that make this place special. And this is something that after a while I just said, you know, this is the place I'm going to be for the rest of my career.
Monterey head boys basketball coach Gary McKnight joining us here on Catholic Sports View. You mentioned, you know, how the game changed. How much has the game of basketball changed in 30 plus years?
Well, I don't think I can be as tough a guy as I used to be. In the 80s you could be a lot tougher, and nowadays times have changed, and kids still like discipline as long as you're fair. If you're not fair, no, it doesn't go good. But as long as you're fair, the kids like discipline. And we have a unique situation because we have kids here that sometimes could average 25, 30 points at some schools, might average 17 or 18, but they're playing with kids and they're going to go a long way in the playoffs and have a lot of exposure, you know, college-wise. We've had over 70 major colleges come through the gym this year. It's a nice situation, and the kids, getting talented kids to play together is not always the easiest thing, but it's worked pretty well.
Sometimes it's about being a coach. Sometimes it's about being another father. Sometimes it's about being a friend or something that, you know, each kid maybe individually needs out of you. Is that maybe the toughest job is to get that many personalities in the same room and make it mesh the way it seems to have always done over the years?
Well, the camaraderie between the staff and the kids, you know, we have a group of kids that year in, year out, that set the tone for each other. Guys realize that you got to play together. Guys realize that you're playing with some other kids that can play the game too. For me personally, coming and sitting here and kids walk by me and talk to me all day long, it's the greatest job in the world.
Yeah. I talked to so many coaches as well, and they mentioned that, the chance to be around the new crop of youngsters every year, you know, and it helps keep you young.
Absolutely. And I'm still in my prime.
Of course you are.
Yes, yes, yes. So,
and the numbers prove it.
Well, I'm having fun, and it's very enjoyable.
Coach Gary McKnight out here as we focus on the Modern Day Boys basketball program this week on Catholic Sports View. I want to talk about your assistant coaches. You mentioned them, you know, Jason Quinn, and you've had others over the years that have helped out. But it's really true that a head coach really is only as good as the rest of the people around him. How important is that to put that nucleus around you that you know you can lean on and that's going to be consistent over the years?
Well, loyalty is the key, and I've got some very loyal people that really work hard for me. And they all have their little niche that they do. Clay McKnight, my oldest son, coaches with us. And he coached with Ben Hallen when they went to the Final Four 3 years in a row. He coached at Syracuse when they won the national title. But got tired of college and is helping Dad. And it's great to have my son around. My other coaches, you know, over the years, Dave Taylor was 18 years my defensive coach. And it's where Jason learned a lot of the defense from. And Dave was just a mainstay for me. He helped me coach the McDonald's All-American game 1 year and right after 9/11. Those type people, and the people I have right now, I got one guy that does really good with offense, one with defense, some are very good with electronics, because I'm not. I got one coach that really maintains the office here and helps me with a lot of things. And the most important thing is I got Pat Murphy, who's president of school, who is very, very supportive of all the activities here on campus, you know, and basketball. He's been very supportive, and I'm very fortunate to have him.
it's actually a good point. And I know, you know, over the years, as I've covered, you know, modern day as a whole, a lot of people will say, oh, hey, the Coach Rawlinson in the football program have made modern day, or Coach McKnight in the basketball program have made modern day. But I think in many ways, modern day has made what modern day is, and what this school is, has made these athletic programs what they've become.
Yeah, you know, Pat Murphy has really done a good job as far as getting top quality people in all areas of sports here. And they've all stepped up a notch. Water polo's taken off. Yeah. Girls basketball is tremendous. The volleyball, I mean, all the different sports. And he's made sure that they all get good treatment, and they all are not just football, not just basketball, but everybody's part of the action.
As you look forward to this season, it's another crop of kids that have come in. You come off the run of the four straight state championships and all of that. But is each season unique into itself, or is it building upon that momentum that previous teams have left behind?
I enjoy it. You know, once the season's over, I have to take a deep breath and kind of back off a little bit. But I have found that I start looking forward to summer basketball. Mm-hmm. And that's where I shape my team. We'll play a lot of games during the summer, a lot of tournaments. And I give a lot of kids experiences that, you know, maybe in tough situations during summer, because nobody gets fired over their summer record. That's the time I start building the team and putting the pieces together. You know, if I got one really good guard, I go, okay, I got one of the five. Now, what else do I got here? And I just look ahead all the time.
Quick break here on Catholic Sports View. When we come back, more with head coach Gary McKnight out here at Modern Day High School. Stay with us.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission is March 1st, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. While all men there were shy about standing out, we all walked away with a renewed sense of excitement about serving the Lord. So please don't hesitate to nominate an outstanding man from your parish or organization. The deadline again is March 1st. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
www.occatholicman.org. That's occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless.
Catholic Sports View. We're at a Modern Day High School, and our focus this week is on the boys basketball program out here. And we're visiting with head coach Gary McKnight. Coach, where we left off, you know, we were talking about this season and building momentum. This season was going along great. You just have the one loss so far this season, and then you got the big news that Bol Bol was going to be eligible and be able to join the team here immediately. Obviously, this kid brings a lot to the table, not just basketball-wise, but he seems to be a good kid as well.
Well, you know, just your average 7'2" kid with 7'6" arm span, you know. But
it with really, the name Bol, which everybody recognizes, Bol. Right?
Just one of the nicest kids we've had, and very polite, shares the ball, and being a junior, he's a little raw, but he's going to be unbelievable talent. I think he's got a chance to be an NBA first-round pick. He has a lot of skills. But he really adds to our team, because actually our center, Miles Brookins, who's about 6'10", signed a scholarship to LaSalle University. You thought maybe he'd get depressed. Oh, boy, you know, this kid came in. But you know what? He's playing better than he ever has. And them together is dynamite. So I'm glad he stepped up to the occasion instead of taking, you know, a nosedive. And the kids have really accepted Bol, and it's been a kind of a real fun situation. And his three brothers and sister have moved out here, you know, with the mom. They live out here in Irvine, so they got a real family thing going, and they're really enjoying it.
Obviously, his father is Manute Bol, the NBA, I'll call him a legend, because he really was. I mean, everybody remembers Manute Bol. They remember what a good player he was, and what a fun personality he was during his time in the NBA. Is this something a lot like, you know, maybe he was? Do you hear those kind of stories?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know Bol misses his dad an awful lot.
It's not the first time you've had a kid, you know, transfer in maybe mid-season, or you know, new faces come in to be part of this Monarch program. How easy or difficult is it to become a Monarch and to live up to everything that it means to be a part of the Modern Day Boys basketball program?
Well, a lot of times I think they just, sometimes kids think they just show up and you win. You win because you work real hard. We work real hard in the weight room. We work real hard on the court. We demand defense, and we demand to have fun. And we really, really stress. When we go on a trip or something, we go out and do things. We don't sit in the hotel. We try to do things as a group any chance we get. Preseason, it's nothing for us to all go to the movies together one day. You know, maybe just cancel practice. And just do things together as a group to bond as a team.
Yeah. Modern head coach Gary McKnight joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. You talk about bonding, and obviously as a Catholic school, how important is it to have that faith aspect as part of the team as well?
Oh, it's major. You know, our campus ministry department, Helen Steves runs, is just second to none. She does a great job. She gets to know all the kids. And my captain, Matt Wyan, is one of her aides. And redhead kid, so she's a good old Irish girl, and not old. I didn't mean that, Helen. We have a lot of interaction between, you know, campus ministry, Special Olympics, the different things going on here on campus. It's important for our kids to appreciate what they have.
You look up around the basketball landscape, and there are years when Modern Day has just completely dominated everything in Southern California. We've had those seasons. This year, you look around, and there's four or five teams at the top that are really good basketball teams. Do you notice that the level of basketball has risen over the years in Southern California?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our top four teams in our division are nationally ranked.
Yeah,
and that's pretty unique. The playoffs are shaped now, where it's a lot more difficult to win the state title or CIF title because they bunch all the good teams together. And I like it, but I don't like it because after CIF, you're playing the same teams again in the state. Mm-hmm. And I liked it before where you played the CIF, you played the best teams, but in state you all went your own division and took it from there. And that, to me, was a little bit better because you played different people. But I'm just fortunate enough that, year in, year out, that we have the talent and the kids and to be able to go pretty far each year.
It's tough at the CIF level, in that office as well, to try to make everybody happy. But I'm sure in the back of your mind you have ways that maybe, these things could be better and maybe a better viewing experience for the people who come out and watch the games.
Well, I don't think too many people are going to feel sorry for us. And Rob Wygood, who runs the CIF, does an exceptional job. And it's not an easy job. Yeah. And there's a lot of ideas back and forth. But he has to look at the entire CIF, not just the 10 or 12 best teams.
Yeah, you mentioned in our first segment, that this is where you ended up. You looked around and said, hey, this is where I want to stay. I mean, this is as good a program as you're going to find, certainly high school-wise or maybe even college-wise, in the nation. Was there a time in your career, younger days, where you thought this might be a stepping stone?
Yeah, I looked at it that way and got offered a few things and applied for a few things. And after a while, I talked to people, and sometimes the next level isn't as inviting as you might think. My son Clay, who did 12 years in Division I, plus played Division I basketball, yeah, he said, Dad, you'd absolutely hate coaching college basketball. If you had a kid down the dumps and you took him down and bought him a hamburger at McDonald's just to make sure he's doing okay, you just did about five violations, with the NCAA. And he says, it would drive you crazy. You couldn't be the person you want to be with the kids that you can in high school. It made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. As the accolades have gathered up over the years, the big rally when you became the all-time winningest coach in the state, that was obviously a huge number. Do any of these achievements mean more than any other, or is it always the team achievement that means the most at the end of the year, obviously?
Yeah, the team achievement. Each year, it's a new group of guys, and it's just the years have gone so quick. But I'm a picture guy. I don't know if in my office here,
yeah,
I have pictures. And I like to look at even under the CIF plaques, I always have a team picture because I look at a plaque and I want to make sure I remember every kid that's on that team. And that's always been important to me. And I have guys walk in the gym, and I don't care if they were 12th man or first man. When they walk in the gym and I introduce them to the team, they were the greatest player ever played here. So the kids always joke with me, go, Coach, all you have is, I'm really proud. I have two kids that we got on as walk-ons, Charlie Noble at Oregon, Dave Brown at UCLA. And after 1 year, they were both put on full scholarships, and they walked on as freshmen. And I was really proud of that last few years. And I had one kid, Drew Mellon, that walked on at Arizona and traveled with the team for 4 years and played with him. So, you know, it's, and he was like 11th or 12th man here. So it's been really satisfying.
Are those some of the most proud moments when you take a kid, maybe even as a freshman, maybe a kid who's not the most talented, maybe a kid who struggles at times with, you know, not just basketball, but other things. And then years later, you see them come back and maybe they're a successful businessman or a father or whatever. I mean, are those the moments where you say, yeah, you know, I'm doing the right thing?
Yeah. And again, like I said before, kids come back a lot. And especially around the holidays, and they all want to come in and say hi, try to get a pair of free shorts or something, you know. But those are the things that make it special. Yeah. And I reach out to a lot of the players as alumni and whatever, and ask them to come to certain events or attend things, you know, like the CF Player of the Years. We've had like 18 or so of them. And I'll say, hey, we're trying to get the group together for a picture of this. One time I decided to do a picture of the Supreme Court over here. And so I called, that was about 10, 15 years ago, and I called about 20 guys on a Tuesday for a picture on Saturday. I had guys flying in from Arizona every which way, and about 19 of them made it. One was out of the country and couldn't make it. And it was funny, I got them gavels and like judges' gowns and what have you. And a couple of the kids were there, and they had earrings in. And I say, guys, we're not doing earrings and pictures. And these guys are in their 25s and 30s. And you could hear him mumbling. He's the only guy that could tell me to take my earrings off, you know. But it was kind of fun. But it showed me a lot when they would all made a point in a 3-4 day period to be there for a picture.
Gary McKnight joining us here as we focus on the boys' basketball program at Mater Dei. Again, it is Mater Dei. I mean, this is a school that sets the tone. And I think part of that, too, is Coach Rollinson has been here so many years, Coach Call. I mean, so many of these programs here have the stability of the head coaches. That's got to mean a lot to a kid who comes here and knows who their coach is going to be for those next 4 years, and obviously with many of you beyond that.
Well, it was a lot of fun for me. I was athletic director for 18 years. I was fortunate with Father Whaling be part of Bruce Rawlinson coming in. Father Whaling and I just absolutely loved Bruce from the get-go, and there was no interview process. That was our head coach. Yeah. And Bruce is, I make one point, I never follow Bruce in a pep rally because I can't match him. He's the best. He's absolutely the best. And he can motivate anybody and anyone. And he and I are best of friends, and he's been so successful. And I just hope, you know, he and I can ride this out for a long time.
Is there another school you can think of that you've run across so many over the years that has had this kind of widespread success as Mater Dei has had, you know, from the girls and the boys programs?
It's a rarity, yeah, to see a girls and boys basketball program as successful as ours too, but it's also a rarity to see a football program and a basketball program at the same school with that strength, and two head coaches that are best friends, you know, and really work together. And it's really a unique situation, a unique school.
Coach, finally, in our last minute here, I want to talk about the Nike extravaganza. And this thing has grown to big proportions over the years. As we air this interview here today, is the second day on Saturday of the Nike. How did it get started here, and how proud of you of what an event it's become?
You know, it started off back in the early 90s. And we put it at UCI. And we did it before Christmas, and it didn't draw at all. It was a flop. I mean, we had good teams, but we just didn't have the turnout that I expected. So we decided to move it to end of January, early February, and it's taken off. Basketball really gets going after Christmas, yeah, because football is still winding down. People are going Christmas shopping stuff. There might be a few tickets available in the late afternoon if the summer turned back. But other than that, it's sold out.
I imagine it's not hard to get some of these top teams around the country to come in now and play in this.
Yeah. Every other year we have Oak Hill Academy, who's one of the top teams. Bishop Gorman from Vegas. Got St. Augustine from San Diego. We got all the best teams from L.A. and CIF. They're very good about coming, and they love to participate with a big crowd and, you know, a nice setting.
Coach, I want to thank you for taking some time, and wish you the best of luck. And I know we'll see you in the playoffs, as we do every year.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. That's head coach Gary McKnight of the Mater Dei Boys Basketball Program. More on Catholic Sports U when we come back. Stay with us here on Immaculate Heart Radio. We kick off this week's show out here at Servite High School, and we're focusing on the basketball program out here and talking to their head coach, John Morris. Coach, thanks for taking a couple of minutes.
No problem at all. Thanks for coming out.
I want to start off by talking about your journey as a player and then get into coaching as well, but your journey continues here at Servite. Started, ironically enough, here at Servite as a player. At what point in your young life did you first get interested in basketball? When did you know basketball was going to be part of your life?
Yeah, I grew up playing basketball. That was basketball and baseball were my primary sports growing up. I was a bigger kid growing up and actually stopped growing pretty much once I got to high school. I was about 6 foot in seventh grade. So, you know, you're thinking basketball is going to be the spot. So ended up playing basketball, football, and baseball while I was at Servite. Was fortunate enough to earn a college scholarship in football. But basketball was always my passion as far as playing. And when I came back after my football career ended, I started coaching football, basketball, and golf while I was at Servite. Kind of did it all. Just the intensity of the game of basketball, the nonstop action is something that attracts me to the game. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you why you gravitated towards basketball in particular. Obviously, you were good enough in football to get a scholarship. I imagine baseball was a fun way to stay active in the spring. But what really is it about hoops?
Yeah, it's just the nonstop action of it. There's no downtime. So there's no, you know, in football, it's one play, stop, reset. Where basketball is just kind of nonstop, get going. Everybody's on top of the court. It's just a very intense, fast game. So very fast paced, and you got to be on your toes all the time.
What was Servite like back in your day as a student here?
You know, it was a tough school. So we prided ourselves on being, you know, one of the toughest schools around. Our student body took pride in that. We were a tough middle-class school that, you know, really prided ourselves on our reputation as when you played us, you may have beat us, but you knew you played us afterwards.
So. At what point did you figure out that football was going to be your path rather than some of the other sports to get into school, to get into college?
You know, it's funny. I didn't play football my sophomore or junior year, you know, and then,
really?
You know, my friends talked me back into coming out. You know, Coach Toner was a great man. You know, when you think of Servite, you think of Coach Toner. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nobody else that embodies what Servite is. It's a shame he's no longer with us. Obviously, he's retired and enjoying his post-retirement, but as a young man that came through here and, you know, when you think of Servite, there's one person you think of, and that's Larry Toner. So, you know, he never pressured me into coming. He you know, I still talk to him this day. It's about finding your own path in life. You know, he's a very spiritual man, and, you know, just the Lord calls you in different ways, and, you know, it's about finding your own journey through life. And, you know, came back out and played football my senior year and got a scholarship off of 1 year, so.
How important, you talk about Coach Toner, how important is it to have those kind of coaches in your young life to help you form what you've now become as a coach yourself?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's in a day and age, I think coaches like Coach Toner, and you look at a Coach Rawlinson over at Modern Day, and, you know, Coach McKnight, who I have great respect for, him and I have a great relationship. We try not to tell too many people that, but, you know, you know, I think it's a day and age where you're losing those coaches, though. So, you know, and that's a shame because those guys are, you know, the staple of, to me, developing good young men. You know, it's a tough environment at times. You got to be sometimes tough on the kids, but that's life. But at the root of it, if you're in high school sports, it's because you care about, you know, the person as a whole.
Has Servite always been that, you know, the school that kind of lived in the shadow of Modern Day, maybe just a little bit? Is that the chip on the shoulder that maybe kids here at Servite have used to maybe reach heights over the years?
Yeah, I've never looked at it as living in the shadows. You know, I've always looked at it as a great rivalry. You know, my friends that I went to school with, either went to, you know, Servite or Modern Day. And I think that's what, you know, I think your closest friends become your biggest rivals, you know, and we're very similar schools in our faith-based aspects and our competitiveness and our athletics and academics and everything we do. So I think we're more alike than not alike. And I think that's what contributes most to the rivalry, just with being in it for going on my 16th year, 4 as a student, 12 as being back here.
Is Servite still the same school now that it was when you were a kid here?
No, and I don't think any school is. You know, you adapt and change with the times. It's definitely not the same school when I went here it was, but that's, I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing. That's just, you know, in times you evolve and adapt. Everybody's different. Society's different than it was back in the late 90s, you know. So, yeah. So, I mean, the kids that are here are having a great experience, and that's what matters.
talking with John Morris, the head basketball coach at Servite High School. You talk about that experience. Is part of that also, you know, the faith experience here, being a Catholic high school? I imagine that that's a big part of the experience.
Yeah, I mean, like today, we just had our guys at break today. They meet with one of our formation directors once a week, my varsity team, and, you know, we do, they're reading a book called Toughness, and it's you know, from Jay Billis, and they discuss it, and, you know, there's a faith aspect to it as well, involved in it, and, you know, trying to challenge yourself spiritually and mentally as much as possible, you know, and helping each young man find their path to God. Obviously, we're rooted in the Catholic faith, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's helping whatever faith you're in is to help you develop a greater relationship with your faith and God.
As a player yourself here at Servite, it was the Sarah League at the time, but the Trinity has grown into the preeminent league, not only in California, maybe nationwide. Could you imagine the Trinity League, you know, getting to the point where it's at now?
I would say no. I don't think you ever could have imagined it. But, you know, it's great to be in it. I mean, you look at it, we beat the number six team in the county by 15 points. And, you know, we play Edison a week and a half ago with our leading scorer out, and we play them to a seven-point game. You know, they're number four in the county, top 50 in the state. But then you look at our league, it's just a different type of athlete in our league. You know, and our kids got a battle, and it's about life, you know, learning that struggle is okay. You know, and I think that's one thing a lot of people shy away from is adversity is a great life lesson teacher, in my opinion. And I think sometimes nowadays, I think people are afraid to let kids experience adversity in their lives while they're under the umbrella of their family and stuff. So when they get out into the real world, I don't think that's when you want to have to start experience adversity for the first time in your life.
It's an interesting, you know, you mentioned a unique athlete. Are you looking for a certain kind of athlete, a certain kind of young man that comes here? Is this experience not for everyone?
I think every school is unique in itself, and not every school is for everybody. And that's, you know, the transfer thing nowadays is getting out of control, yeah, in my opinion. But you don't really know if a school's for you until you get here, you know. So we just want hardworking kids that are going to be respectful and carry themselves properly and just be tough. So those are the kids that fit in here. You know, if you look at, you know, the rest of the league, there's a lot of really good athletes and high-level basketball players. And, you know, we're kind of stuck in the middle of it. And we're just going to go out and compete as hard as we can every night and stick together.
John Morris, Servite head basketball coach, joining us here on Catholic Sports View this week. When did you know coaching was something you wanted to do?
I knew I always wanted to be involved in athletics. That was what I did. I didn't play video games growing up. I didn't do anything but play sports, you know, year round. So obviously, as an athlete growing up, your goal is to be, you know, you hope to make a career out of it. The reality is not a lot of people are going to do that, you know, as far as your playing career. So once I was done playing, I got into coaching right away. So it was something I've always enjoyed. I love the relationship piece. You know, sometimes as a head coach, a lot of the times it's like being a parent. You've got to make hard decisions and be the one, you know, with the tough love on kids. And that's the hardest part of the job, you know, is that aspect, is when you've got to be the, you know, bring some discipline down or stuff like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the relationships you build throughout it, when you see guys coming back at the alumni game and stuff, that's when you really see the rewards of your job.
You spent time as an assistant coach, you know, before getting the head job. Is it important to have that time to get your feet wet, for lack of a better term, before taking over a program completely?
Oh, most definitely. Even more so, you know, I mean, I jumped in as I think I was 27 when I became the head coach here. So it was my first time as a head coach. I mean, that's being thrown into the fire and in this league, and good luck, you know. So, but it's, you know, you got to have thick skin, you know, in this league. You got everybody, you got, you know, critics out there and all that stuff. And, you know, you're at a private school. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that, you know, you better have thick skin to survive in this industry.
It's tough. Modern day is obviously the king of the hill most years. You know, Bosco's had some really good years in the past decade as well. But is it always that monster at the top in modern day that everybody's shooting for, it seems like?
Yeah, Gary's phenomenal. I mean, he does such a great job over there. You know, I laugh and chuckle when anybody tries to take away from what they've accomplished. Right. You know, anybody who says that is, I don't think you know what you're talking about. So Gary and that staff, and Jason Quinn and everybody over there, they do such a phenomenal job coaching those guys and keeping them at a high level all the time, you know, year in and year out. And I don't think people understand the work and effort they put in over there to make sure that happens. And they do it the right way. Knowing those guys, they do things the right way.
you know, speaking of trying to do things the right way, obviously in your time here, you know, you're trying to put a system in here that will get this team, you know, to the upper echelon of that. What is that system and how do you institute it with the kids you have?
Yeah, we pride ourselves on defense here. So if you look at, you know, even when we hit our stretch of league where we struggle to win some games, we tend to hold teams, you know, well below their season average. So I think that's something where you can tactically as a coach help out. Offense, putting the ball in the hole, you know, you got to have the guys to do that. So it's not college either, so you kind of got to adapt to what you have every year. So defensively, we just believe in being tough and sound on defense, you know, and then offensively, you got to be fundamentally sound and, you know, you got to be able to hit the three to when you're undersized to win in this league. So
you mentioned playing that, you know, the non-league schedule that you play. Is it important to play a tough non-league because you know the league is going to be just as tough, if not more so, than any of the tournaments you play in early in the season?
Yeah, I've always believed in playing, you know, the toughest teams possible to prepare you for league and for playoffs. I mean, you know, if you look at our non-league schedule, you know, three of our four non-league games, we play Edison, number four in the county, Saddleback Valley Christian, number five in the county, and Sonora, number six in the county. So we're not shying away from anybody. We opened up with a state-ranked team in Folsom up in Reno to start. We played in some tough tournaments. Obviously, you know, we're not, you know, at a national level like, you know, a modern day is, but, you know, we like playing the toughest teams. Unfortunately, this year, you know, CIF made a change without informing anybody about the 500 rule to get into playoffs. So if that stays intact, then you got to look at what's best for your program, and you got to make sure you give yourself a chance to be above 500. Because every year we've got, over the last 5 years, it's the first time in school history we've won a playoff game 5 years in a row since I've been here.
You know, sports is all about momentum. Basketball especially is all about momentum. How important is it? You know, you mentioned the playoff success, you know, the momentum for this program to keep this thing moving forward and attract, you know, young men here who want to come in, talented basketball players who want to be, you know, part of this.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you got to do is you got to mentally tough kids to get through this stretch, you know, and that's you got to put them in situations and practice throughout the year. We're going to fight every night, and you know, we don't go out against modern day thinking we're going to lose the game. We're going out trying to win the game. Your faith is tested when things get tough. You know, that's when you really know how strong your faith is. So,
Coach, I want to thank you for taking a couple of minutes here to join us on Catholic Sports View. Good luck, and we'll be rooting for the Friars as you make this run towards the end of the season.
Awesome, thank you for taking the time to come out.
Catholic Sports View. Joining us right now is Carlo Campana, and he's the Sports League Coordinator at the Diocese of Orange. Carlo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Bob. I really appreciate it.
Hey, explain to everybody who may not know, and some out there may already know about it, but kind of give us an overview of the Orange County Catholic Sports League.
All right, so we reach out to those young adults ranging from the age of 18 to 39, and we offer them two sports leagues. We currently have basketball and soccer right now. We're actually heading into playoffs right now this week on Saturday. And we just offer them the opportunity to play basketball in an organized way where we have referees, we play at a gym, we have games, we have playoffs, a championship trophy, and the same goes for soccer. And we just offer them this opportunity to actually, like, be able to continue playing on from high school and continue playing the sport they love, basketball or soccer, and then currently working on adding softball into the mix. And we just love having the opportunity to work with young adults constantly. We give them this opportunity as well as what we call one-time events that happen once a month, whether it be like ice skating, rollerblading, jumping on a trampoline, just anything kind of sports-related, volleyball. That's pretty much what we do, what I focus on, and really try to bring in all our young adults from the Diocese of Orange.
Who's eligible to sign up for these leagues?
So the age range, they have to be between 18 and 39, and then from there on, just like if they're able to play, they're more than happy to join. There is a fee, like any other league that's offered, and currently, like, for basketball, it's $70, and for soccer, it's $92. And we have 10 basketball teams in our basketball league, and we have almost about 12 teams in our soccer league. And each team has about 10 players for basketball, and then for soccer, they have to have 13 players, but usually they have quite a bit more. So quite a big crowd joining us.
Yeah,
Saturday night games or Saturday morning games.
Did you find that there was a need for this in the community? Were people in the community asking for this kind of an outlet, or did somebody say, hey, this is something that might benefit the community?
Well, this started about 10 years ago with just soccer, and there was just like this overwhelming, like, we want this to happen. We want to leave. We want to be able to play with parishes, like parish against parish, because we have, like, say, for instance, like, Christ Cathedral has their own team. They play against, like, a St. Martin de Porres or, like, another team across the county. And they just want this kind of, like, competitive feeling of being able to play against parishes, being able to play against other, like, members of their community, you know, like, it's grown from the 10 years ago that it started, because it just started with soccer. 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, it was basketball that joined in. So it's just gotten bigger. Like, of course, it started small, like, we're talking 4 or 5 teams, and then now it's just been growing to 10, 12 teams joining every season. Next year, I'm already getting calls for a team to join. So it's just something that we know people want, and people are willing to, like, come out here and play and show up on Saturdays. And it's great because you see their fans bring coasters and just cheer them on. So it's like, you know, they're like, their fans, the people playing, they all want this. They all, like, love it and enjoy it.
Right. We're visiting with Carlo Campana. He's the coordinator of the Young Adult Sports Leagues in the Orange Diocese. What's the level of play? I mean, if I'm not very good but I want to play, or if I'm really advanced and want to, you know, test my skills against other advanced players, are there different levels of play depending on how good a player is?
Yeah, we currently have, each team has its mix. So there's like maybe like a couple players who are really great players, and then the others that are just learning, and some that have been playing for a couple of years. But there's a great mix between every single team. It's just, you don't have to be the best. You don't have to be, you're not, you can be someone new to the game. Last year, for instance, when I joined and had my team playing, we had somebody that had no idea how to play, and then we just taught them on, like, during practices during the week, and then on games, we just explained to them little by little. And it's, you can use this as a learning experience. Usually a new team joining in, it takes them a season or two to adapt to the league, and then after that, they just immediately kind of just grow into it and realize that, hey, I need to make some changes. Hey, I need to practice a little bit more. Hey, like, I need to do this. It all depends on the teams. Most teams have, of course, like, they're really great star players, and then it's just based on these really great role players that they, like, keep on the team and then just continue on, just going on from there. So, and every team changes during the years, you know, like, sometimes some people aren't able to play 1 year, so they set out a whole year and then they come back the next year after that.
Yeah. Definitely sounds like a lot of fun. You know, we seem to live in a more polarizing world, seems, you know, day after day. There's a lot of talk about if people will get out more and visit with their neighbors and play with their neighbors, that, you know, you wouldn't have, you know, maybe this hate that we seem to have so much in the world. Do you find that there's a component where, when, you know, people getting together and just having a good time and it's just bringing neighborhoods and people together?
Yeah, definitely. I've noticed that a lot of teams that have joined came from playing, you know, at their church or at their park or at a school, and they're, and like, on a basketball court or a soccer field, and they bring that, like, enthusiasm and excitement onto, like, this league. I mean, we just see this camaraderie between players, because it's just, it's not, you know, like, hey, like, we're going to get in a fight kind of thing. It's like, hey, like, if you fall down or I accidentally push you down, like, they're just helping each other out. No matter what team they're on, no matter what's going on, they're like, hey, this is just the game. We're doing it for the love of the game, but we're not here, like, to do, take it any further from that. So, and that's what, something that I love from this group that we have of young adults, that they're all just, they love the game. They're not there for any other reason, and just for that, they're just playing the game. They want to have fun. They want to enjoy it. Want to make the most out of the league. And that's something that's like amazing to me that I see, because I've heard, like, you know, like, some issues that happen sometimes off the court, but I'm like, hey, like, I'm happy you guys don't bring those onto the court. You guys actually leave that outside.
We're visiting with Carlo Campana, the coordinator of the Young Adult Sports Leagues in the Diocese of Orange. You know, obviously it's run through the diocese. There's a Catholic component to it. Is there a faith component to what happens out there? Do you find people sharing their faith with one another?
What we have them do is they pray before each game together. Both teams that are going to play, they pray together. After, you'll hear, like, we have a couple youth ministers and a couple young adult ministers on the teams. And you just hear them inviting them to events. What I try to do is also, like, pass out flyers from upcoming events. You know, like, hey, like, do you want, I hear people going, like, hey, we're going to mass tomorrow, want to join us. And it's great just seeing them, like, move this forward on. They don't let too much of the feelings of, like, we're not on the same team get in the way. They're just like, no, it's like, this is an opportunity to reach out to other young adults that maybe don't get to hear about these great like opportunities to go to Mass or go to a night of worship or something like that just because they're not attending other events, you know. So it's nice to know that they are being reached out to.
Right,
so,
right.
We'll take it from there. But there's always been an interest for, like, volleyball. Just being in Orange County, people love volleyball. And then also softball seems to be one of the biggest sports that I've seen kind of rising within young adults. So it's something that I really am taking an interest in, and I'm hoping that once I add it, those people that are interested will join. There's already a couple teams that are ready to sign up, actually. So it looks like softball is the winner in this case right now for a league.
Why do you think tennis is so popular?
Tennis and volleyball, it just seems to be that sport that, you know, there's tennis courts available almost anywhere you go. High school, you had, like, pairs and singles playing. So I've just seen it grow. Like, you can watch it on TV, like, more often now. It just seems like once, like, the popularity just grows in that sport, people, like, high school and young adults want to just start playing it. So it just becomes now my job to make it something that's offered here. So I love doing that. I love it when you guys challenge me. I love it when people just tell me, like, hey, I want to do this. So now my job is to make it happen for these young adults and people who want to play. So,
are you participating, or do you get out there? Do you play?
I try to play when I can, but right now, since I'm like coordinating the league and trying to make sure everything's running smoothly, I get to watch. But as soon as I get everything rolling, everything's smoothly transitioning and working out, I'll get to join in. But I can't wait to get back out there. Basketball is my sport and something that I've played and coached for years. I just love being able to work through this right now and having something offered for them and just talking sports in general.
Right. I know there's always a battle for space, for court time. You know, are you finding difficulties there, or are you finding it's easier to find, you know, the fields and the courts to use?
Luckily, for instance, for basketball, our home court is Rosary High School. They've been such a great help to us. They're always willing and open to us to use their gymnasium. And it's great because it's like I get to know the people. We've worked with them for years. And then, for instance, now for soccer, we use St. Jean on the Left Neck and Tustin, Santa Ana area. So also they open the doors to us. So it hasn't been too much of the struggle of having to find a gym, but now that I'm looking at the softball realm, that's going to be something that I need to sit down and really take a look at and see who has something to offer and just ask around. Because honestly, like the Catholic world, everybody has their hands open, ready. They're offering. They're just like, we're here to help, you know, and that's something that's nice that we have that access. As Diocese of Orange, we have this huge field and facility aspect so that we get to use that we created.
No, that's really great to hear. Give them the information one more time if they want to reach you. They have questions. How do they get a hold of you, Carlo?
All right, they can email me at occsl@rcbo.org if they have any questions, or give me a call at 714-282-3055. And I'm more than happy to help. Any questions, anything you need, I'll be here.
Well, we certainly wish you luck, and we thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports View, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Bob. Take care.
All right, that's Carlo Campana. He's the director of the adult sports leagues that are going on in the Diocese of Orange. I want to thank all my guests this week. And if you want to catch a replay of this show or any other shows here on Catholic Sports View, just log on to occatholic.com/radio. We have all our shows archived right there on the page. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Valentine's Day will be here soon, and we've got an exciting event planned for you. Experience a dynamic live cooking demonstration and dinner with world-renowned cooking priest Father Leo Padalinghug on Thursday, February 9th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. Father Leo will do a special pre-Valentine's Day cooking demonstration infused with the beauty of our Catholic faith happening live right before your eyes. Don't miss it. Go online to fatherleo.eventbrite.com. That's frleo.eventbrite.com.